Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Thursday night football returns this week with two of the hottest teams in the league as Zeke Elliott, Dak Prescott, and the first place Cowboys take on Drew Brees and the first place Saints. So let's talk about that game. Dallas, they've won three straight, but they're facing a Saints team that has won 10 straight games. Drew Brees and the New Orleans offense leads the league in scoring at about 37 points a game. And yesterday, Cowboys defensive end DeMarcus Lawrence was asked if the Saints O-line would be the toughest they've faced. And guys, he didn't hold back. Lawrence said this: "They're going to have to match our intensity, bleep, for 60 minutes straight. If you hit an MF-er in the mouth and then they ain't doing what they're regularly doing, putting up 50 points, they start to get a little distressed. Yep. Now you got them where you want them at, and then you effing choke their ass out."
Jenny
now take
Taft.
A listen.
Jenny Taft
get
said
AMF.
You know, I had
Jenny
to read
Taft
it with a little more oomph
go.
There.
Oh. That was
That's what he
incredible.
Said. That's
Way
what
to
he
go,
said.
Jenny.
Thank you. Let's hear what Jerry had to say.
Each play, every time they have the ball, we've got to think it's the Super Bowl play. It is the play. We're just going to have to play them that way, both on our defensive front and as well as when we play offensively. Big games like this are down to the individual play. And if every player will, on every play in this game, say, when we put that on tape Monday, it's going to look like one of my best plays of the year. It's really going to take that kind of focus to beat a team like this.
Mm. All right, we're joined by FS1 NFL analyst James Harrison. Mm. Good morning, James. Morning. When you listen to that talk from the Cowboys, do you like it or dislike it?
I love the confidence. I love the approach. I don't like that he said it out in public because now you're giving them bullet board material. You're giving them something to look at and press forward to. Right now, I know you're on a high. The Cowboys are on a high because they got three games.
I wasn't until I read this quote.
But they played against not New England. They played against the Eagles, which is 24th, 26th in defense total. They played against Atlanta, that's 27, something like that. And they won those games. Washington didn't even have a quarterback.
Nope.
You know, the quarterback was hurt. So, you know, right now, you know, they're riding a little bit of a high, and he's trying to get them to that point where, you know what, if you beat the Saints, who everybody believes
is Jerry.
Yes, Jerry is saying, if you beat the Saints, which everybody believes is easily one of the best teams over there, then you have a chance to actually go out and keep that moving and pushing forward to where he may be the team that is now talked about as being a Super Bowl contender. Like I said, I love the confidence. I like the approach. But for me, every game should be a Super Bowl. Hmm. You have to win every game. Your approach shouldn't change. Your mentality for that shouldn't change.
Did you ever say anything like what DeMarcus Lawrence said about the
Everybody
Saints?
Says that behind closed doors.
Publicly. Mm.
Everybody says that behind closed doors. That's one thing that Bill Cowher told us. He said, never give them bullet board material. It was a loudmouth tight end that used to do that a lot, you know, that would give guys bullet board material. You know,
I was provoked.
Loud.
Provoked.
That was provoked.
Always provoked? Okay.
You know what, Skip? I like old hood Jenny. Mm-hmm. Oh, Jenny Reed, that MF-er.
That was my favorite moment in the history of the
game. I didn't know you could say ass. Yes. I didn't know.
You nailed
that.
It.
Well, he said I was too soft.
I like old hood.
Oh, I liked
old hood
it.
Jenny.
Boom.
Jenny really from
Got
the block.
Thank you. You know,
but here's the thing, Skip and James, when you put so much emphasis, you know, you says, okay, if we win this game, what happens if you lose? Are you going to say we lost the Super Bowl? You're going to say, oh, it was just another game. See, in regular season, I treat them as the same. They come. I'm not getting ready. This is not a Super Bowl, Skip. You know, I mean, we need every play. You know, we want to look back at every. No. Jerry, let me tell you something. I played a long time. James, you played a long time. Every play is not perfect. Some of my best games where I caught the ball well, not blocked, but there are some plays in there, I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
I wish the camera would have blacked out on that one. Didn't catch that play.
It could have cut me out in the corner a little bit.
Exactly, Skip. So, but Jerry is, for me, I don't mind guys talking. I kind of like the guys that's a little closer to the action. My head coach, if the players on the team want to talk, got no problem with that. Mm-hmm. But Jerry, stop. Let them handle this right here. Now, you got your work cut out for you because New Orleans, they feeling good about themselves. They don't want to stop this momentum. Mm-hmm. Listen to the guys talk. they really like being around each other. They have fun, but they go to work every single day to get better. I ain't got no problem with DeMarcus Lawrence. Now, we're going to see. Now, for me, that's the match I'm going to be watching. I'm going to be watching him and that old right tackle.
I think the whole world just focused on that matchup.
Yep, I'm going to be watching.
But that, like I said, that's a check that you done wrote for 52 other guys.
Yeah, that's
and the thing. Everybody now, their one-on-one matchups, they're thinking about exactly what he said. And I'm trying to dog you. Just because of what your teammate said. Because if you said it out loud, you're saying it for sure behind closed doors.
Yep.
If not worse.
Yep. So, I'm going to tell Mr. Harrison here what I told Mr. Sharp to start this show. I was feeling pretty good about my team's chances on Thursday night until I read DeMarcus. I used to call him DeMarcus Lawrence Taylor because sometimes he's like a Lawrence Taylor. Mm-hmm. But this is completely over the edge. This is completely out of bounds. I don't think you can write a check for this team to cash because this team is lucky to be 6-5 right now. It's lucky to be a 7.5-point underdog. And to me, this quote is worse. I'm not going to read it again because Jenny nailed it, and I don't want to step on what she did. But it's so bad to me. It's such a call-out that it's worse than guaranteeing a win because he's called out. Remember, the New Orleans offensive line is simply the best in football. Pittsburgh's got a good one. Mm-hmm. Dallas used to have a really good one and has a decent one right now, but not like this team. This team protects Drew Brees like he's the Hope Diamond. He's been sacked all of 10 times this year, and DeMarcus Lawrence hasn't had nearly the year this year that he had a year ago. He's 13th in sacks with 8.5. Not bad, but not great. As a team, they're 12th in sacks. Not great, but not exactly Saxonville from last year. Mm-hmm. So again, you're not speaking from a position of strength. You're going at a position of strength. You are rattling the beast. This is a beastly offense here, and you're rattling a cage of an offense that might have come in, I don't know, a little overconfident.
Sleeping,
maybe a little bit. And I used the old
let
cliche.
Let sleeping dogs lie.
Let a sleeping Breeze lie. Let a sleeping Camara lie. A sleeping any of the receivers, just name one.
Michael Thomas.
Let him lie. Let the offensive line just lie still. Don't go shaking their cage. Don't go. That's exactly what they needed after they won 10 straight games is to go to Dallas. Everybody hates Dallas anyway. That's enough.
Yeah.
So don't provoke them because they don't need to be provoked. They're too good.
Well, they might turn back into Doomsday.
Okay, this is arguably the greatest offense ever. The quarterback is having arguably, according to the QBR stat, he's having the greatest quarterback year in the history of football. He against you, he's for his career, he's 3-1 at Dallas. He's 5-2 against Dallas. And don't underestimate this because they're again, I worked for a long time in Dallas. These are neighboring states, Louisiana and Texas, and it's like bitter rivalry between New Orleans and Dallas more than you think. They're not division rivals.
They got a lot of fans in New Orleans. I didn't realize that, but there are a lot of Cowboy fans in New Orleans.
That is correct. And a whole lot of New Orleans Saints fans hate Dallas fans because they have to live around them.
Yep.
And so the blood rivalry here is it's in some ways it's worse than that division rivalry, you know, against Carolina or Atlanta or you know, those kind of Tampa. It's different. So you can't provoke this now. Mm-hmm. It's the worst thing you could have said. It's going up on the bulletin board.
Question.
Sean Payton loves this stuff.
He does.
And you're going to give them a reason to run up the score because he will run it up if he gets the chance.
You got your son at home, your daughter at home talking about, Daddy, who is this man talking about? He go choke your ass out. Who is that?
Seriously, think of what you just said. You just said you're going to choke them out? Seriously.
It's a figure of speech, but people go take it literally.
They do.
But he's saying, you know, literally, we're going to choke out the offensive line. Really?
Right. Yeah.
That's what you're going to do? And now to my owner, who just can't help himself. He just can't stop. So he was saying some good things about it's a measuring stick game.
Right.
You know, it's a challenge. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's all well and good. But when you invoke the name Super Bowl, everybody's going to leap to a conclusion. Oh, this is your Super Bowl, Jerry, because you haven't played in one in 23 years?
Right.
You haven't played in a conference championship game in 23 years? Really?
And he didn't mention anything about when he played the Eagles. He mentioned nothing about Super Bowl.
No.
Now, this was the Eagles were the defending champs.
Right.
That should be the measuring stick.
And it's such a bad thought to plant, to your point. We're not home yet. This isn't the last game of the year, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say the impossible happens. They pull off the big upset.
Right.
Then everybody goes home and says, well, if that was the Super Bowl, what's the Eagles game on next Monday night? What is it? We have to go backwards and play the conference championship game or what, right?
Because at this point in the season, with the Cowboys where they are, Skip, the games get bigger. You know, I mean, there's not a bigger game than the Super Bowl. Right. So you can't have the Super Bowl and then go descending order. They just get bigger. You keep winning, especially the hole you dug for yourself.
Yeah.
You win three in a row. So now you go to four. And now you got to go to five. Because here's the thing. You lose this game, Skip. Guess where you are? The Eagles come in with a chance to take over the division. Mm-hmm. And then what? Mm-hmm.
Okay. But again, is my team barely good enough to at least stay on the field with New Orleans? Yeah. It can be, but you can't do this. Yep. You needed to walk softly into this game.
No.
Not yeah. if, when they lose this game.
Huh? Yeah.
When?
Yeah, we got to do
it. Is it done? We
got
do not.
Skip, you got to bet on your team.
I need 14.
Whoa.
Huh?
Asking for points?
Yeah.
No. That's yeah. bad.
No?
No.
Well, you already.
Your team.
You predicted it would be a 21-point blowout. I need 14.
We got 2 cases to do.
Huh?
2 cases.
Oh, so you're trying to get it back? You know what? You're like a degenerate gambler.
I am.
You know, you're chasing bad money with good money, right?
And
you just get worse.
I win one bet, then I shove it all to the center table.
Doubling nothing.
Oh, yeah. Man, Miss Mary going to be upset, Skip. Mm-hmm. She's like, Jennifer, did you say what I think you said on television?
Oh, her mom.
She's for sure watching, too.
Oh, yeah.
she will have texted me.
It. You said that word like you said it before.
I mean, occasionally.
I mean, that she just gave you
her ass.
She said it.
Whatever. Do you guys want me to read it again?
No. Okay. But checking. I'm saying, the way
it's
you said
get
it.
Replay.
I
mean, don't worry.
I mean, Jenny was turned to the side. They couldn't see it because she was on camera reach. She turned to the side like this Emma Effer. I'm like, whoa!
Shreddy, you know, it's a serious quote. You said I was too soft the first time. I had to do it better.
You did it.
He spat this
he
quote
said
out.
It,
he
not
spat
me.
It out.
You said it.
I'm just doing my job, reading the quote.
Thank you,
Matt. I'm sure. Way to go. I need to call Matt. Matt, have you ever heard this before?
He probably has.
Hey,
thank you for being here. No mercy. The Steelers lost 24-17 on Sunday against the Broncos. Ben Roethlisberger threw 2 interceptions, including a huge one in the end zone with just over a minute left that could have tied the game. Only Sam Darnold has thrown more picks than Ben this year, but he says it's no problem. Take a listen.
I wanted to even go back to the same play. I was going to throw it to Juju again. I think we should have went to him 4 straight plays. You know, 3rd down was another run-pass option. He did undercut AB. So, you know, who knows what would have happened. And that's where I talked to AB. AB, you have to come flat. You can't drift in the end zone because those undercuts can happen. Would the guy have had a chance to intercept it? Yes, I definitely think he would have had a chance. I can't control that guy. Sometimes those things happen. I'm a quarterback that's going to go out and sling it. You talk about gunslinger or whatever you want to talk about. I'm not going to worry about interceptions. I hate doing them. They bother me. But I'm going to go out and play my game and try and help us win football games. You talk about guys that miss a basketball, right? You miss threes or you're not making. Do they stop shooting? No, they keep shooting because you trust yourself.
All right, Shannon, what does this tell you about Ben?
It tells you that Ben does not get the gravity of his mistakes. Skipping again, you see what he's doing? Blaming someone else. I wanted to go back to Juju again. Skip, now it's the play call. Because I wanted to go to Juju again. I've also told A.B., you got to come flat on that play. Skip, if A.B. comes as flat as Ben wants him to, he's going to run right into Harris, who steps back and intercepts the ball. That's the thing. How flat do you want him to come? Down the line of scrimmage? Behind the line of scrimmage? Ben, come on, Ben.
I mean, they didn't anticipate that Harris was going to fall back in
no,
the middle of the play.
No, but like he said, the dude jetted him because he knows when you're coming across, what's the likelihood? It's not like AB 6'8". Mm-hmm. They're going to throw him a back pile, inline throw, Skip. Mm-mm. He's got to come flat. And so what is he? And what does a Roby does? He jets the route, which means he undercuts the route. Skip, I don't trust Ben like I once did. If you look at Ben, Skip, in the playoffs, when Ben throws 1 or fewer interceptions, they're 6-1.
Mm-hmm.
When he throws more than that, guess what? They're 7-7.
Mm.
7-7. So, Ben, what that should tell you is that when you take care of the football, your guys, you win.
Mm.
When you give it away, it cost you last year, Ben, remember, in the divisional round of the playoffs?
Mm.
It cost you home field. Mm. Remember that 5-interception game that you had against the Jags?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't get it. I don't get Ben is that he finds a way to put the blame. I wanted to go to Juju again. AB, you got to run flatter. What about the interception that you overthrew AB and hit Chris Harris in the chest?
Mm.
Whose fault was that? You didn't mention that one, but I saw that one too.
Mm.
Keep turning it over. And guess what? You'll be home again. Hmm. Contemplate retirement like you do every year. After every painful loss, you look back and, whoo, I don't know how much longer. Hmm. You know, I do got boys and I want to be a dad for them. I want to take them to practice and all this because that's exactly what's going to happen. Hmm. You keep having that same philosophy because most guys that understand that turnovers, first of all, being shooting a three and throwing an interception is entirely different because one, you're actually getting an attempt at the basket. Mm-hmm. The other, you're not. Turnovers. So when the guy turns...
I mean, if you miss a three, it's not the end of the world. Yes. If you throw an interception, it can be the end of the world.
Thank you. It's like overthrowing a pass game, okay? It's an incompletion as opposed to a missed shot. It didn't go in.
Yep.
But come on, Ben. You better take care of this football because your team's not good enough. Your defense isn't good enough to come overcome your mistakes.
So I've always said about Ben Roethlisberger, who once upon a time lost a playoff game to Tim Tebow in your hometown of Denver, right?
Yeah, he did.
I've always said Ben has no conscience whatsoever. He loves his image as the ultimate gunslinger. He can shrug off pass rushers and throw another big completion. Loves throwing those 97-yard touchdown bombs, right?
Yep.
Because nobody can do it better than Ben can do it. Nobody can throw interceptions faster than Ben Roethlisberger. So, over the last few days, we've talked a lot about throwing interceptions as it relates to three quarterbacks. The first one is Ben Roethlisberger. He is high risk, but I'll give him high reward. The second quarterback who talked yesterday about interceptions was Tom Brady. Tom Brady, I'm going to call him medium risk, but extremely high reward. And he talked yesterday or 2 days ago now about being more fearless. You know, don't be quite so careful. Go for it occasionally when you feel like you could pull it off.
Right.
Then the third quarterback that we've talked a lot about throwing interceptions, who's now 20 touchdowns to only one interception, is one Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. I consider Aaron low risk, low reward. And it's barely low reward because he did go on that 1-4-0 run to his lone Super Bowl 8 years ago. But his playoff record is now 9-7 because since the Super Bowl, he's 5-6 in the postseason. And a lot of that I attribute to being low risk, low reward. He doesn't throw many interceptions, but he's not throwing touchdown passes at the rate he should be given his golden arm. So I go back to Ben versus Tom Brady. And what's Tom's record against Ben? It's 8-2, counting some postseason games. 8-2? Well, it's because Tom always outplays Ben when it matters most because he's going to make the big throw without throwing the big interception, right? So I look at Ben, and so he's played in three Super Bowls, and he won two of them. But guess what his touchdowns and interceptions are? 3-5. Three touchdowns to five interceptions in his three Super Bowls, and yet he won two of them. Well, he won the first one driving the bus, right? Literally driving the bus, as in the bus carrying the ball.
Because they played what they do. They ran the ball with Willie Parker and Jerome Bettis, and they had an outstanding defense.
And in that game against Seattle, Ben threw for a grand total of 123 yards, no touchdowns, and two interceptions, and they won the game. And they got some controversial calls.
Yes, they did.
And then he beat Arizona, which I didn't think Arizona was much of a test, but it was one touchdown to one interception. And then he lost to Aaron Rodgers with two touchdowns and two interceptions. So it's 3-5, which are not scintillating stats. If you look at Tom Brady's just his Super Bowls, eight Super Bowls, he's 18 touchdowns to only five interceptions, and he's averaged 322 yards passing a game in eight Super Bowls. Well, that's pretty great.
And the thing is, Skip, is that what happened was is that Coach Cowher made Ben take care of the football because they were going to run the football and then play outstanding defense. But something changed. This was no longer your mom and dad's Pittsburgh Steelers that played defense and ran the ball. It shifted. And the onus was put on Ben to throw the ball around. And he felt that he could throw the ball around without consequences or repercussions. But when you're in the playoff, Skip, and you turn the football over, you turn it over more than once, Skip, you're probably going to lose the game.
Probably.
Because you play double. And the further along you go in the playoffs, the more the turnover will hurt you. Ben needs to understand. Ben, I get it. You know, you're like, I'm going to keep playing my game. Your game is costing your team. Is that your turnovers cost them. Now, look, there are enough blame to go around. I mean, Connor fumbled the ball. The tight end had an opportunity to get the ball in the end zone. He fumbled the ball. But, Ben, these interceptions. And to be so cavalier about it. I mean, most quarterbacks of Ben's ilk would say, you know what, guys, I do. I need to do a better job. Now, I mean, I can't be overly cautious where I'm afraid to throw the ball down the field, but I do need to be a better job of taking care of the football.
Yep.
Not, oh, I got no concerns. I'm going to just go out there and throw it and then go blame everybody else. Because remember last year, Skip, against New England. Well, they wanted me to kill it, and I didn't want to kill it. And I didn't. I'm like, bro, that's conversation. You don't tell the world about the conversation that you and the offensive coordinator had. And again, you know, I wanted to go back to Juju. So now again, you didn't like the play call.
You think you're going to teach this old dog new tricks?
No.
I don't think so either.
No. So, no.
So he's got two Super Bowl rings, and in the postseason, he's 13-8, which is highly respectable. Yeah. And I think he doesn't lose any sleep over throwing interceptions some regular season
But
game.
Guess what? He'll go home early because he'll turn the ball over. He'll throw a bunch of interceptions. And then at the end of the game, they're going to ask him, Ben, are you coming back? Well, I'm going to take some time with my family. I'm going to contemplate retirement, you know, because, you know, I got a broken toe and my dog died yesterday. And all. I'm going to go sit on the rocking porch and all kind of foolishness.
I hope his dog doesn't die, but that's just
Ben gave an interview at the end of the season.
Yep.
It's like a country western singer.
It is.
You know, it's gonna rain all day, and you know, I got to get the old pickup truck and the dog in the back, and I don't know what's gonna happen from here on out.
It always is that same story. And what do you do? He compared his interceptions to missing threes. I mean, I don't know, not the same.
And Skip, I'm trying to. You know what, Skip? I let you slide, but you tried to take a shot at Aaron Rodgers.
Well, he deserves a shot.
No,
5-6 in the postseason.
Okay, but let me ask you a question.
Super Bowl?
Okay,
it's not a shot; it's a fact.
As aggressive as Tom Brady is, how does a guy that's low risk, low reward, have more touchdowns?
He's medium risk, extremely high reward.
But if Rodgers is low risk, low reward, how does he have more touchdowns than a guy that's medium?
Can I give you his record right now? It's 4-6-1.
That record is.
Aaron Rodgers is 4-6-1. Tom Brady is 8-3.
Can you imagine
Tom
if he
Brady
turned,
is 8
if
and
he had 7 interceptions, what his record would be? Green Bay wouldn't have won a game, Jenny. If he had thrown 7 picks, Skip Bayless, the man thrown 1 interception, they're 4-6-1. Guy's thrown 7.
Here comes Tom Brady toward that number one seed.
Well, you want some dew on it? You want some dew on it?
I might.
He's thinking
I'll see
about
how
it.
I feel about that.
Oh, you gonna wait till the end of the season?
I got a game to get through tomorrow night first that matters, that really matters.
Oh, y'all, that's the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. No
mercy. We have one game left in the season for college football, and we have a little drama with the playoff. Alabama, Clemson, and Notre Dame are all undefeated. They're the top three teams in the newest rankings. Georgia is fourth right now, but they're a big underdog against Alabama on Saturday. And on the outside looking in are Oklahoma and Ohio State. The Sooners are fifth. They face Texas on Saturday. The Buckeyes are one spot behind them. They'll face Northwestern in the Big Ten championship game. We're joined by Joel Klatt. He will call the Big Ten championship game on Saturday.
Can't wait for
that. Looking forward to it.
You bet.
So, Joel, if all the favorites win on Saturday, who should make it?
Oh, gosh. Can I start by saying there's not a good answer?
You can say that.
There really isn't.
I think that's fair.
This is one of my problems with the playoff at 4, and this is one of my problems with the conversation of expanding it to 8, because the arguments get watered down and less compelling the further down in the rankings that you go. These two teams, Ohio State and Oklahoma, are fatally flawed. Both of them. Both of them. OU's defense is right now putrid. When you look at what they've done in the last month, it's some of the worst defense in all of college football. In fact, you take a look at the rankings in November, they're giving up 47 points per game. That's 125th out of 130. 585 yards per game. That's 128th. They're giving up 395 through the air. That's dead last in college football. Like, what are we talking about with OU? And obviously, Ohio State has the really bad loss to Purdue. Their defense had not played very well until all of a sudden at times last week against Michigan. So two very fatally flawed programs, which comes down to this then. If they both play exactly how they've been playing all year, I think Oklahoma's resume will be a touch better than Ohio State's, and then they'll go to the playoff.
Great.
Just because they have a better loss in kind of a close game in a neutral site to Texas, and they would have a chance to avenge that loss to Texas in the Big 12 championship.
Okay, Skip. I mean, you lose by three to your rival, or you lose by 29 to an unranked team that just became bowl eligible. Now, if you beat Northwestern in the Big Ten championship, guess what? Northwestern lost to Akron. Really? Are we going to be impressed with Ohio State's resume? They gave up 51 to Maryland, who just scored 3 points against Penn State. But you want me to go goo-goo-gaga over that? If we keep talking about Oklahoma's defense, You know, Ohio State's not like Alabama. You try to make it seem like they Bama. They're not, because they gave up 51. They had a 300-yard pass and almost a 300-yard rusher against Maryland.
Yeah. Mm.
Everybody, with the exception, again, you and khaki pants knew Michigan, and Joel, knew Michigan was overrated.
Joel knew it, yeah.
Yeah, I've been trying to tell Joel. I mean, every time I said, Joel, is khaki pants? Nah, he's like, this is different. Mm-hmm. I said, no, they're
it
not.
It wasn't different.
They
one-dimensional. I should have listened to you.
They're one-dimensional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were.
And just like I told you earlier, Joel, you know my guy go win the Heisman. Skip OU is going. He don't.
See, your argument is so flawed because if you put OU in the playoffs, then Kyler Murray should run away with the Heisman Trophy. Run away with it. You just disqualified your argument for Tua. Do you realize
that?
That's
a good point.
Thank you.
Good point.
Case closed. Kyler wins the Heisman. Thank you, Shannon Sharp. Appreciate that.
Let me tell you why Skip doesn't want OU to go.
Let's see.
Because he knows they'll be the 4 seed, and he don't want them to see Bama. Yeah, he don't want to see old St. Nick.
I already told you what would happen. Could Kyler Murray maybe score 40 the way Deshaun did against St. Nick's?
Oh, you bet. He
could score 40.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
Tua could score 70 or 80. They could name the score. They could name it before the game started. Do we want to score 65, 70, or maybe 82? Let's score 82 tonight because that's what they could do. Oklahoma has the worst good team defense in the history of college football. They set records on offense, yards per play. It's an all-time record that they set. Kyler Murray is the Heisman Trophy winner because of what they've accomplished in spite of their defense. 47 points a game that they've allowed through the last 5 wins. What? That's almost impossible to do.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah. So, Shannon,
yes.
Ohio State is less flawed. They're flawed, but they're less flawed than Oklahoma. And my eye test watching the Michigan game is that Ohio State could give Alabama a little better game than Oklahoma could because Oklahoma couldn't put up any fight on defense. And I believe Ohio State has enough athletes on defense. I saw flashes, even though they gave up 39 and 400 yards, but I saw flashes of being able to at least stand up to Alabama on defense. They have the athletes to stand up. Oklahoma can't rush the passer. They can't cover. They rank 127th out of 130 schools in yards allowed passing.
Yeah.
What? This is it. You're talking about a playoff? They're disqualified. And again, it tears my guts out to say this. I was born and raised into the tradition of Oklahoma football. They took me to my first game when I was 5 years of age. So it's in my blood. I can't help it. And they lost to Notre Dame.
No, you've
it
been
ended
bad
the
luck.
47
bad,
game. I know.
Bad luck.
I know. I got blamed for
bad
it.
Bad luck, Bayless.
My grandfather drove home. He was furious at me. It's your fault.
Yeah.
That damaged me for the rest of my life. That's why I am what I am.
Let me paint a scenario real quickly on Saturday, because I'm going to go back to 2014. Remember, there was a mess going on in the Big 12. Co-champions, TCU and Baylor. Who was the real Big 12 champion? And what did Cardell Jones and the Ohio State Buckeyes do that night?
Yeah.
They went out and beat Wisconsin 59-0. 59-0. So, to your point, if Ohio State can prove that they have fixed some of their flaws, right? We know that they're flawed.
Yes.
You brought it up. And we all know the numbers. Maryland, Anthony McFarland, a freshman running back, goes for 298. It was absurd how that defense played. However, if OU gives up 45 again, like they do, it seems like every game here this last month of the season, and Ohio State were to win, sake of argument, 59-0.
Okay.
I think that the committee might put the Buckeyes in at that point, saying that we've seen a better version of Ohio State, we've seen them reach their potential, and we've seen Oklahoma regress during the course of the season. I think that those people would do that. Here's another interesting fact, and you just got to hear me out on this. This committee is made up of 13 people. People that are directly tied to the schools or have a direct relative, bloodline, that are tied to these schools financially have to recuse themselves from the conversation.
That's interesting.
Gene Smith, the athletic director of Ohio State, is on the committee. Joe Castiglione, the athletic director of Oklahoma, is on the committee. And Frank Beamer, who's on the committee, his son Shane Beamer is an assistant coach for the Oklahoma Sooners. So when they're being directly compared on Sunday night for the fourth spot in the college football playoffs, three of the 13 people have to recuse themselves from the discussion.
Good.
We're down to 10 people. What are we doing in college football right now? This is crazy.
All you got to do is go ask Coach Saban, who you want in the Alabama Invitational.
Just get his take.
But, Joel, if you don't mind me asking, I know you follow the Big 12 real close,
Yes.
Can you tell me the defense that's not giving up 40 points in the Big 12?
I can't give you that one.
Kyler Murray's disqualifying. Because if every defense is doing exactly what Oklahoma's doing, how impressive.
Now, Shannon Sharp, timeout.
I will disagree with this because every year in the bowl season, the Big 12 goes out there and their defense plays markedly better than they play in the regular season. These offenses in the Big 12 are different. Defensive coordinators will tell you all about that. What Kyler Murray is doing has never been done before in the history of this sport. He's averaging right now over 300 yards passing and over 70 yards rushing per game. Take away his fourth quarter stats, just take them away, because that's the argument. Tua doesn't play in the fourth quarter. Take away Kyler Murray's fourth quarter stats, and he is dead even with Tua Tagovailoa. And in fact, his total yardage is much higher because of his ability to run. So I'm just saying, I think that this race for the Heisman, if you also include Dwayne Haskins for what he has done over the course of the year, it's a three-horse race going into the championship weekend. I don't think that this is set in stone whatsoever.
It's in the Ten Commandments stone.
No.
Tua got this thing wrapped up.
Wait a second. Kyler, 48 touchdowns, Tua, 41. Really? Yeah. 48-41. Shouldn't that be advantage, Kyler?
But hold on. We keep talking about the fourth quarter. Huh. Can we put Tua back in some of those games in the third quarter when Jalen Hurts came in? Can we do that?
Sure. Listen, he's remarkable as well. That's why I wouldn't say Kyler Murray's definitely got to be the Heisman Trophy winner. I don't think Dwayne Haskins doesn't. I think that this is an amazing race towards the finish line for the Heisman Trophy. These guys are fantastic players. Dwayne Haskins has put up the greatest passing season in Big Ten Conference history. Tua is doing something I've never seen at Alabama. He's taking this Alabama team that was a great team and taking them to another level. Kyler is playing better than a Heisman Trophy winner that just won it last year. It's sensational what these guys are doing.
I mean, Baker Mayfield went 43-6. How is 37-7 better than 43-6? I just saw Baker do that.
What Kyler is doing is much different because, one, the defense is much worse, and his ability to run is a much different dynamic than what it was last year.
They gave up 55 to Georgia. So how much worse could it be?
Well, it took two overtimes.
They gave it up.
Well, it did.
They gave it up.
Yeah.
And they have a 14-point lead. But my guy,
I'm going to ask you the key question here. Which team could give Alabama the better game, Ohio State or Oklahoma? Be honest. Mm.
I'm thinking Buffalo or Jacksonville.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. Because if you play college football, you don't want to see St. Nick.
The answer to that question is Ohio State.
Clemson.
You know it, and I know.
Clemson.
And Dwayne Haskins is no chopped liver,
I think Clemson is the only team.
You can't answer that question because you know the answer.
Georgia. I got a hunch about Georgia.
Do you?
Really?
Yeah, Alabama has been basically sleepwalking through the first half in each of their last two games, tied at 10 with the Citadel at half, 17-14 in the Iron Bowl at half.
I think
Georgia's got a great chance.
Joe Klatt says Georgia.
On that note, we're going to go to break with that one because that could
change
everything.
They got a great chance. Don't sleep on the Bulldogs.
Joel, tune in.
Yes, I'll be there.
It's going to be a good weekend. No mercy. All right, guys, the Lakers were terrible last night, getting blown out by 32 points in Denver. LeBron had a season-low 14 points, and the Lakers missed 30 threes. After the game, LeBron said they tried to stop the dam from running over, but added, quote, "At one point, it broke open because we couldn't make shots." We're joined by FS1 NBA analyst Chris Broussard. Chris, how do you explain LeBron's performance last night?
This is a very simple explanation.
Oh.
All right. I didn't expect a 32-point beatdown. I did expect the loss, though. As you know as well as anybody, it's tough playing up in Denver in that altitude. They're 9-3 at home. And LeBron has rarely been at his best in Denver. Career, he's 7-8 when playing in Denver. His points per game, his field goal percentage, his rebounds per game are all below his career averages when playing in Denver. On top of that, I watching LeBron last night, I think he was fatigued. Because if you go back to before last night, the five games leading up to last night, Rondo was out. Mm-hmm. LeBron has been playing more point guard with Rondo out. Mm-hmm. And point guard wears LeBron down when he plays it all the time. Mm-hmm. I think that's one reason he hasn't wanted to ever be like just a full-time point guard. And then you look at the minutes. Okay, the previous four games before last night, he was averaging 37 minutes a game. The seven games before that, again, Rondo's healthy. He's only averaging 32 minutes. So I think all of a sudden that caught up with him as well. And he came out strong, 4-7 in the first quarter, 10 points. But I think as the game wore on, it caught up with him. And he was off the ball a lot more, too. Like, especially in the second half, he was in the post. He was on the elbow a little more. And I just think I think all of that conspired to lead to LeBron having a really maybe his worst performance of the year, or certainly one of them.
It's a bad night. I'm going to chalk it up to a bad night. I know you want to look deeper, Dr. Phil.
Dr. Phil.
Yeah. It's the beginning of
yeah,
the
Yeah, I know you want somebody. You want to be
Wait,
on
it. Is it my turn?
No, it's not your turn. I'm talking. You want to be, he wants LeBron to come sit on his couch, kick up his heel, and you got a pen, and you like this here. Okay, LeBron, tell me what happened last night. What are you feeling right now? That's not the case, Skip Bayless. It was a bad night, and superstars have bad nights. And contrary, TV land, to what you're thinking, Michael Jordan did have bad nights. Skip will tell you he scored 40 points every single game for 15 years. That is not true.
He did go 6-0 in the finals.
Skip, what am I talking about? I thought it wasn't your turn.
I think you asked
me. I did not ask you. I was talking to TV land.
Yeah, you need clarity.
No, I don't need no clarity. He had a bad night. And something. But what needs to happen in order for this team, guys, to get to where they need to be, when LeBron has a bad night, someone else is going to have to pick him up. Because we've seen Houston, when James Harden has a bad night, Chris Paul, Eric Gordon can pick up the slack. Kevin Durant has a bad night, Stephen Clay can pick up, and vice versa. So you need a situation where if LeBron doesn't get you 28, doesn't get you 30-40, and he doesn't have double-figure rebounds or almost double-figure assists, who's going to be that next option? We have yet to see it. Everybody keep telling me.
They don't have a consistent.
They keep telling me it's Brandon Ingram. LeBron told me he had next. And we can put a lot of weight into what players say, because I believe that's a lot of the reason why teams are still giving Carmelo, because, man, they're doing Carmelo so wrong. Carmelo can still play. Skip, the players, they're close to this.
Who says that?
Huh?
Twitter says that.
No,
right?
No.
I think that was a Twitter response.
Yeah. Okay. No, my analytics.
Oh.
Yeah, I got analytics. I got analytics, guy.
You're going to spill your Henny.
I drank all that last night watching that game.
That's what I thought.
But they need to find a consistent guy that they can depend on that's going to give them, Skip, 18 to 20 points on a nightly basis. And right now, they don't have that. And this rotation, I never know from night to night, Skip, who's going to be the first or the second guy off the bench.
Uh-oh, because shot I don't... at Luke. Shot at Luke. I heard it. I see it. You know I feel it. Dr.
You
Phil know here. See
Dr. Phil.
You love to keep stuff going. This joker here.
No, you started it.
I just started to say. All I'm saying is that I like to see a more sound rotation and not, okay, I'm gonna try this guy. I'm gonna try that guy. No, that's not how it works.
Last night you just had to keep trying whoever, right?
Beasley.
Yeah.
First half.
He tried Beasley and he dunked. I didn't even know he could still dunk, but he did. That was impressive. So it's Dr. Phil's turn. And what Dr. Phil saw last night was pretty shocking, because I don't know LeBron. I've never spoken to LeBron before, but I know something about LeBron, and I know people who know LeBron very well. This guy knows him pretty well right here. But I was stunned by what I saw in the second quarter from LeBron James, because he hit the wall hard the second quarter, not in the second half. And it shocked me because he is in such superb condition. But I do agree he's had to push it a little bit. And I do agree he has been with ball in hand a whole lot. I like this team the best when he's running the point, but it's going to take a lot of out of him, and he's in his 16th NBA year. So they've kept minutes down, but they haven't kept energy draining down. That's just energy draining.
Played almost 40 minutes on Sunday.
He did, and they lost.
Yes.
So it leaves you flat because you got to the precipice, and then you didn't get home.
Correct.
And then you got to fly to Denver, and I agree. Denver's hard. But, again, Denver has lost three times at home, so they're not invincible at home. And the Lakers have played at a high enough level on the road. They haven't done that. That's the first road blowout that they've had all year. They've been very good on the road. And, again, he's 7-8, but he has won seven times there in his life. So
that's 16 years. That's 16 years, Skip.
But what got me was LeBron came out in full-on attack mode in the first quarter, because Denver can't – nobody can keep this man, even in his 16th year, from the basket. Nobody. And he was just taking it home and taking it to the free throw line for and ones.
That's what tired him out. Do you know how hard it is to constantly drive? Because, Skip, he, like I said, like KD and these guys that can shoot the ball from the outside efficiently, that's not LeBron's game. So to drive and take that contact and that altitude is going to wear on you, Skip.
But is he not supremely conditioned. Yeah. I mean, don't give me just a quarter. And then he just, in the second quarter, he had nothing left. He lost his legs in the second. He goes 1 for 5 for 2 points after scoring 10 in the first quarter. I thought he was on the way toward 40. And, and you said, what, 20?
26, 10, and 8.
And I'm thinking 40, 10, and 10. Mm-hmm. That's how it felt.
Combined,
in the first
he didn't get to 26. Because combined his rebounds and assists, he had 23.
Okay, so just me, I watched a whole lot of Michael Jordan. I don't remember him hitting the wall in Chicago the way LeBron hit it last night. He would hit the wall in his age 38 and 39
years. He hit the wall sometimes, Skip Bayless.
He didn't play a 16th year.
Yeah.
Now, okay. and here is the thing. Look, we don't really remember, and I know you were at a lot of Jordan's games, but for the most part, we don't remember his mediocre or bad nights. You know, there wasn't the shows like this didn't exist where we analyze every single game.
Right.
That's part of the scrutiny LeBron's under that Jordan wasn't.
Okay, but I always said this about Michael games. Every game I watched, I would walk away from saying he did one thing tonight that I'd never seen before. That was the beauty and the magic of Michael Jordan, where he'd do something where I'd say, man.
Yeah, like that block shot. You see that guy challenge LeBron, and LeBron hung up in there.
LeBron blocked some shots last night.
Yeah, you saw that?
He did a lot for a little while. And then, boom, he ran into the wall and fell on his back. That's how hard
he hit the wall. You seem happy about that.
I don't. I was shocked by it. And again, I said this would be the seventh seed, that the Lakers would finish in the seventh seed. And I'm looking at the playoffs right now, and this is going to be a horse race, man.
Yeah,
good.
It's not going to be simple.
And guess who got Secretariat?
Yeah.
The Lakers.
Well, so you think they're in
trouble. He's out to stud right now. He's been retired.
No, he ain't. Yeah. He'll be back.
Well, you can see he's pacing himself.
Pacing. Right?
Defensively, he'll block some shots,
yeah,
but he's not really getting into people and things like that. So he's clearly pacing himself.
I know
himself
he didn't get into Terrence Ross at the end of the Orlando game, but that's
whatever, Skip. Skip.
He got blown by for the winning basket. I don't know.
He overran.
Oh, okay.
You saw that.
Well, he's smarter than to overrun Terrence Ross.
Are you saying they're going to have trouble making the playoffs?
I think they're going to have a hard time hanging on. I stand by what I said. Seven seed. Would you?
We ain't
like
hanging on to no seven.
I had them 53 wins, so
three,
that would
four,
be three or four.
Okay.
First of all, we're not hanging on to no seventh seed. We're going to hang on to the second or
as
the
I reminded
seed.
This man, the reason the West is so hard is because the West is so deep. It's not as top heavy as it used to be, but it's really bottom heavy. So I reminded this man across the table from me, the Lakers sit in the seventh seed right now at 11-9, but out of the playoffs right now are Spurs, T-Wolves, and now it gets even worse, Pelicans, Rockets, Jazz, all in order.
And they might stay
Pelicans, Rockets, Jazz. Will they rise? I think so.
Chris, look, can I
the Rockets will rise for sure.
What you think?
Spurs got a chance.
If you don't mind me asking, was LeBron the best player in the East or the best player in the NBA?
NBA.
Okay. Is the Western Conference in the NBA?
Wait, is Golden State in the NBA?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they were in the CBA.
We're not talking about them right now.
After Golden State,
anything.
Like,
to
your point, there's 11 teams that are close.
Yeah, they're vying for those spots.
I think the Clippers are going to have – will they stay doing what they're
probably
doing?
Probably not, but they're pretty good. The Clippers
are
good.
They are good. They're
will Memphis
they're
hang?
Dogs.
I don't know.
No.
No?
It's hard to believe they would.
Lakers.
Huh?
Sacramento right now is in
they're
the play. They're going to fall.
They're going to fall. They're not going to make the playoffs, but they've been much better than they used to be.
And guess what?
And you know what? Sacramento's going to knock some teams
and
off.
And the Lakers have been much
they
better.
Will.
Hold on. And the Lakers have been much better. You make it seem like this the last 5 years they had Magic and Kareem. The Lakers have been terrible.
They're much better.
So, they're much better.
That's ancient history.
Now they
got LeBron James.
Say it with your chest out. Say it again. Why is it ancient history, Skip Bayless?
Because
they got who?
They got the king.
All right, that's what I need you to say.
At least they head home for the next four.
4-0 the next four games.
4-0?
You want to put some dew on that? You want to put some dew on
that?
They
got Pacers.
4-0?
4-0.
Pacers, Mavs, Suns,
who are they?
Spurs.
Say it again.
Pacers, Mavs, Suns, Spurs.
Pacers don't have Oladipo right
now. I don't care who they got.
They could have good win.
They could have George
McGinnis.
Spurs
will be tough.
They could have George McGinnis for all I care.
Wouldn't it be funny if they won the first three and then lost to the Spurs and you lost your bet?
Put it on.
That could happen. That could happen.
Well, it happened once already.
Because old Greg Popovich hating. Oh, Kawhi wasn't a leader for us. You proud of that, Skip? That your coach is taking shots at players that no longer play for
him? Well, that was just a duh. Whoever said he was a leader?
Why are you okay if it was a duh? Why are you bringing it up?
Number
two? That's a different
discussion,
Shannon, for a different day.
Kawhi.
Come on.
Talk about number two another time.
No mercy.
LeBron is in his 16th season and will turn 34 next month. His oldest son, Bronny, He's 14 years old and is in the eighth grade. So any way you add up the math, it appears it would be difficult for LeBron to play in the NBA with his son, but that is still a dream for the King. Let's hear it.
I would love to see the floor with my son. My son is in the eighth grade now. If he continues on the path that he's on right now, he could possibly be in the NBA in 5-6 years. So that would be an unbelievable moment for not only myself, but for my family, for everybody. So we'll see. Taking care of the body is number one, but more importantly, taking care of the mind. If your mind's not fresh, then your body will fall at the waistline. So that would be pretty dang on cool if I'm able to be on the NBA floor with my oldest son.
All right, Chris Broussard back with us for this discussion. But Shannon, I'm going to start with you here. What are the chances of that happening?
I'm going to say 1,000,000 to 1. A million to one. Wow. Because here's the thing now. You're talking about he's great as an eighth grader. That's eighth grade. So you got 4 years of high school. And you got college. Now, there have been a lot of guys that were great eighth graders. Some great ninth graders and 10th and 11th and 12th graders that didn't play in the NBA. So everything has to go perfect for him. Now, more likely scenario is LeBron is still playing, because I can see LeBron playing 21 seasons in the NBA. Probably not going to be the same player that he is now. We look at father-son. We look at Ken Griffey Sr. and King Griffey Jr. Mm-hmm. Now, we're talking about a prodigy. Ken Griffey Jr. was a prodigy. His dad was not a prodigy, Skip. Nope. So what's the likelihood that the dad is a prodigy and the son is a prodigy? And even, now LeBron said, I said 1,000,000 to 1. LeBron says, just taking the court. When Ken Griffey Sr., Jr. made it to the majors, the son was on, the dad was on the Reds. He was about to get released, and he said, this is a great opportunity for me. Mm-hmm. I could get an opportunity to play with my son. Mm-hmm. So he ended up going to the Mariners. They played. Not only did they play, they batted behind each other. Man, that's a once in a lifetime. I don't think we'll ever see anything like that again. I think if it was baseball, it would be more likely.
Because you could play longer.
You could play longer, and there's a quicker ascension rise. But I think I'm going to say 1,000,000 to 1. Mm-hmm. But if anybody that's going to stick around long enough, it would be LeBron to be able to see the court with his son.
I definitely don't think it's 1,000,000 to 1. I think it's a lot less. I'm going to say there's maybe a 20% chance of it happening. I really believe that. First of all, one of the things that makes me go so high is LeBron clearly is motivated to do it, because he's not going to be a superstar.
We're not talking about LeBron. You're talking about his son.
I'm going to get to him. But LeBron, number one, only four players. It would be LeBron's 21st year.
Yes.
If Bronny was a prep to pro. And I think the one and done will be done by then.
Right.
But is he going to be that good? So I'm with you. I'm not saying it's guaranteed, but will LeBron, if he averages 24 points a game, say for the rest of his career, he will pass Kareem in his 19th year.
Yep.
So what he would want to play two more years as probably, let's just be honest, a pretty good player, but not a superstar anymore. Right. Would LeBron be motivated to do that? So I think that's a big issue. As far as little LeBron, he's ranked by Coast to Coast Prep website, which LeBron has referenced before, I believe. He's ranked 24th in the eighth grade.
I can't believe they're ranking eighth grade.
I know. but I like that he's only 24th, because a lot of the guys that young that are ranked number one don't pan out. When LeBron was in eighth grade, the number one player in the country was Major Wingate.
I remember him.
You remember him? He played in Tennessee 3 years.
Yeah.
Never got to the NBA. Okay. But O.J. Mayo. Now, he made it, but, you know, fell off Derek Character. A lot of guys, because they're men by the time they're eighth graders.
Interesting.
So Kobe, I'm not saying they weren't really good in eighth grade, but Kobe, Dwayne Wade. LeBron was not ranked nationally when he was in eighth grade. He really blew up on the national scene as a freshman in high school. So I like the fact that little LeBron is not, you know, the number one player in the country yet at his age. That shows he's got room for growth. I've talked to people that watch LeBron at this age and little LeBron at this age. Most of them tell me, as good as little LeBron is, he's not as good as LeBron was. Right, which is nothing wrong with that.
Right.
However, I talked to somebody today who's watched them both, and was close to LeBron, he said they're very comparable. Huh. He said the feel for the game, and you've watched videos of little LeBron. Feel for the game, the passing ability, the willingness to pass. And LeBron has said he's a better shooter and better ball handler at this stage, which makes sense because these kids are better at that.
They handle it. Now they got all the teaching.
Nowadays. But look, you're right that it's a long shot for a guy to in eighth grade to make it to the NBA. But look, he's got some advantages. If he still has the drive, and that's a question too. Is he going to be motivated? Will he not want to walk into his dad's shadow and all that stuff? Mm-hmm. But if he has the drive, you got a great teacher, obviously, in LeBron. He's playing against the best kids in the world. I really think it's a good chance that he makes the NBA. I'm going to say 20%.
I'm interested to hear what you say.
By the way, Bronny is already a better shooter than his father.
Oh.
And that's not being
just
sarcastic.
In eighth grade, but you
no, just right now, he's a better shooter. He is. Just off the video, I like his stroke better. I like his range better. I do.
You see LeBron pulling up from where he's pulling up from.
This kid has a chance to be really good. Seriously, really good. Will he stay on path? There's no better teacher than his father. Right. There's no higher basketball IQ than his father. And it looks like the kid got some of it. I don't know if you can inherit it or not.
It looks like
it. Like he did. Mm. So I'm with Chris. I might be a little higher. Given LeBron, here's the key X factor to this, is LeBron James, I hate to even bring this up because I'm going to knock on wood for him. He is the most durable superstar in sports history, and there's nobody even close. He's had I'm knocking on wood because I don't even like to bring it up, but he's had no serious injury. No knees, no shoulders, no back, little back things, but not big back things, right?
Right.
So because of that, it gives you a chance, given his knowledge for how to keep, take care of himself, given the money he puts into it, given the time he puts into it, he's got a chance to play 21 or 22 years.
Yes.
If he could get to 22 and still be a credible NBA player, then you would have a chance. Yeah. So what would be the hypothetical here? LeBron, at some point at age 22, would have to concede to be a second or even a third banana. Can he take that pride-wise?
Right.
Could he accept that?
If he were even a third banana in his 21st or 22nd year, that's pretty good.
Okay,
if he was still part of a big
Is that okay with him? Can he live with that?
That's going to be – but here's the thing. The reason why I went so high, but think about it. Think about the chances of a player going to the NBA. Okay,
I got it. I got you. But think about this. Okay, let's do it. There are two cases here. Let's say Bronny maxes out and he's a mid first round draft choice. Well, that would mean some team is thinking, if I take LeBron Jr. at 15, 17, 19, wherever in there, it's a package deal because I could get the last hurrah from his dad and it would be a drawing card, right?
Yeah.
So maybe he would go a little higher just for that.
Right.
Because then LeBron, it couldn't finish in L.A. He would have to go wherever the kid got drafted. Atlanta or Toronto, I don't know where it'd be. But LeBron would have to go finish his career with his kid there, just the way Griffey Sr. went to Seattle,
right?
Okay? The opposite of this would be, let's say Bronny is just pretty good, like LiAngelo or whatever, you know, like the middle son.
Right.
So then what if he didn't get drafted, but again, LeBron is still a Laker, and they say, well, we'll just bring in Bronny as our 12th man or whatever.
You're right.
Okay?
That's actually, because you could just sign him even though he might not play.
And just put him at the end of the bench, and then you could say that they got some minutes together.
You know what? We just outlined every possible perfect scenario.
That's true.
There's a lot that has to go right. Exactly.
There's a lot that has to go.
But I don't think
that's,
it's.
But that's what you just let down. That's not 20%.
But
what you just said, you said it's a million to one that Bronny will be an NBA player.
No. I'm saying there's a million to one that they will play on the court at the same time.
I'm going to say this too, though, about kids. And I guess this will have to play out. But I do think with the scouting being better, with the all the best kids now, they're not playing on the playground. They're having personal trainers.
They're playing AAU.
We know the NBA is about to start, getting involved with scouting these kids at a young age, identifying them. I think from this point forward, the best young players, like they're going to be, probably have a better chance to go to the NBA than years past because scouting wasn't as good. And if a kid was bigger and dominating,
I wish I knew. How tall is Bronny going to end up being?
That has a lot to do with it.
Because he's about 6 feet, 5'10".
Okay.
6 feet,
how tall is Savannah? Maybe he's 5'6".
Yeah, 5'5".
Okay, so LeBron, I'm giving him 6'9". So what are the genetics going to say? Six.
He'll probably be at least 6'4", I would think. Maybe 6'4"-ish.
Could he be a 6'4", 6'5", point guard?
And like you said, if he's shooting it, keeps working on his jump shot, his handle.
Yeah, my thing is not that he make it to the NBA. Making it to the NBA while he's there to still play.
Straight out of high school.
And LeBron has basically said, I don't necessarily have to be on the same team. Mm-hmm. I just want to be able to say I'm on the same court on a given time. I mean, it just so happened that Griffey Sr. and Jr. were on the exact same team.
You keep making the point. He's listening to Luke and maybe Magic. His minutes are way down.
Yes.
He ranks 19th in the NBA in minutes played after he led the league the last two years
correct.
In minutes played. Okay, that'll work.
Yes.
Right? It's hard to see LeBron, though, like a Vince Carter now.
Yeah.
I don't know that he would do that. Kareem stayed well after his prime, but he was competing for championships.
But remember, Kareem was different. Kareem would get the rebound, throw that thing down, Magic could push it. Come on up here, Cap. We ain't got nothing going on. Hey, where you wanted that? They throw it down to Cap. Cap throw the sky.
And they still winning championships. I don't know where LeBron will be then, but probably not. He won't be a key factor on a championship team.
That's a little hard. When you that high, and you used to be skipped, that's what ran Michael. Michael, like, man, I can't compete. I'm not the same guy. I've been this guy for so long. And we expect LeBron to be that in year 19, 20, 21.
And hopefully, and from the outside looking in, Bronny is handling the attention well
the
hype. But he's still in eighth grade.
It's a lot to manage.
This is a lot emotionally, mentally. I mean, your dad's LeBron. So let's just pump the brakes.
I'm going to win that lottery.
That one.
Mm. I'm going to win the lottery.
We'll see if Shannon. We got a few years to figure that out.
I ain't got no few years. I'm playing tonight and tomorrow.
Good to have you always, Chris. No
mercy. Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.